Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Brandon and I am joined as always by Josh on the other line. Hey there, Josh.
Hey there, Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. And I've made a solemn oath to not make you reveal the score you had in game week 10. So we don't have to do that. I know you didn't have such a great week.
I feel like the very fact that you're saying this is you're kind of giving yourself away right now.
I'm sort of telegraphing it, aren't I?
I had like a little mini rant/meltdown before the podcast started where I just, you know, part of it is just if it were a normal season to be bad enough, but now that we're in the business of trying to, okay, here's how I like to frame this podcast, Brandon. Maybe this will be useful for you to hear, or anybody who's listening for the first time.
This is great. Okay.
What I see this as is a podcast where we discuss the Premier League with a fantasy sort of bent to it, right?
Absolutely.
We're talking about the league. We're talking about what's happening, but you know, through the eyes of fantasy. But it's not like we're doing hard. Like there are podcasts that are very good at doing like the hardcore like rate my team kind of thing.
Yeah, all the stats, all the data, the spreadsheets.
We're doing some color here, you know, filling in the gaps, talking about the things that happened, little stats thrown in as well.
The human story, if you will, of the FPL.
If you will, but I won't, actually. No, I will. but that being said, it still is painful to have a week as bad as this week and then come on the podcast and try to talk about the fantasy league, you know, because it's crazy. Like for a couple weeks there, it was like, oh, yeah, like it's a bad start. And, you know, I had four green arrows in a row. And then this week it all came crashing down again. And I kind of knew this was going to be a bad week, but it was bad beyond my wildest dreams.
I'm getting some hardcore Tim Sherwood vibes from you right now.
It's just Mourinho. My team mirrors last year, runaway season, best season I've ever had in the Premier League. You know, had only three losses all year, or whatever the equivalent is of three losses, like Mourinho's Chelsea team. And it's all just falling apart, and no one can explain why. I'm like Eden Hazard. Where are my 14 goals and 10 assists that were my birthright?
Well, take heart in the fact I had a pretty decent week, all things considered. I ended up with 46 points, and it was the same as game week 9 for me, where I had a really good first day of the FPL, and then that was followed up by nothing doing on Sunday's round of matches. But I finished.
That'd be a good team name, by the way. Nothing doing FC.
That would definitely fit my style of FPL. But on 46 points with no penalties, that moves me up into the top 400,000, which has always been the target.
That's the target, 400,000?
My target, as I mentioned last week, is always the top 100,000. So to frame the podcast even more, Josh is really the ambitious host on this podcast. You're probably aiming for like the top 1,000 in a good season.
I think I said a couple weeks ago, my goal going into this season was top 500. That was the goal. I almost finished in the top 1,000 last year. 500 seemed like a reasonable goal.
Sure. I mean, it's like for your shareholders, you're always looking to increase progress no matter what.
Yeah, build exactly. On growth. That. Exactly.
And me, I am a nonprofit, if we want to continue that metaphor. I'm always shooting for the top 100K. So I think I'm close.
A false prophet, if you will.
I did something crazy this week, though, which I don't know if I've ever done this. Surely I've done this maybe once or twice over the last 5 years. But I played with a 3-5-2. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about my Swansea issue with Andre Ayew in the midfield and then Gomis, everybody's least favorite striker right now up
Tim
front.
Gomis. Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know what to do with these guys heading in to the week and how I was going to get Gomis out for somebody who was even more appealing. Mm-hmm. But I kind of have a dream midfield right now with Alexis, De Bruyne, Ayew, Ozil, and Mahrez. So I just decided to start all five of those guys and put Gomis on the bench. And thanks to Ayew's heroics
Was it extra time or it was nearly extra time?
Nearly extra time, yeah. I didn't see the goal, so I couldn't, don't quote me on that.
All right, but he's one of those active midfielders, too, who tends to get a lot of bonus points when he actually scores the goal.
Absolutely. And it was really confusing because I was following the live bonus points feed and I saw IU was on for 3. And I didn't look down to see that another IU was on for 2, and I just assumed that Andre was getting 3, but it turns out his brother actually ended up with 3.
Isn't that weird? Both IUs scoring in the same game?
It is weird. It is strange.
That is, by the way, most people who listen probably already know this, but if you're not going to anewpla.net, that's really where you want to go to get your like real time stat updates. Did they basically like hack the system or something? Because as far as I can tell, it seems like it's drawn directly from the fantasy. I actually shouldn't even be saying this in case someone like from website is listening. But it is absolutely the
best. What I like about it, it is completely faceless. You would look at this site, a new PLA, and you would think that there wasn't a single human behind it. Like the singularity actually created this site.
It's like a bunch of logos, and that's pretty much it. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Because there's nothing on there, it refreshes super fast.
Speaking of bonus points, the wildest bonus point issue this week, I thought was Kurt Zuma. He ended up with 2 bonus points after just getting an assist and letting in 2 goals.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. Yeah, I don't. Defender bonus points seem like something of a mystery to me sometimes. It's not totally, you know, it's like when Aspilicueta got 2 bonus points in the first game. I mean, I shouldn't say seem like a mystery because it's actually you would be able to go back and actually piece together exactly why they got those 2 bonus points. But I think it's like it's completed passes, right? That's the biggest thing this year is that you know,
they've
emphasized completed passes, which you would have thought was going to really help out midfielders like Eden Hazard, but it seems like it's actually really helped out defenders. I mean, there's people like Martin Skrtel who are just kicking the ball back and forth a lot. You know, I mean, he was on for 3 bonus. That was what really killed me, not to get too off track here, but, you know, terrible, terrible week. Had Martin Skrtel, even after the goal, he was on for 3 bonus points. Yeah. I would have had a 9-pointer from Martin Skrtel.
Would have been the second 9-pointer in a row for you from Skrtel.
Would have been the second 9-pointer in a row. Of course, naturally, a completely stupid goal gets scored by Sadio Mane.
I love a good bundled in goal.
Yeah, like just a crazy goal. It was very similar to the Russell Martin goal, the Norwich goal. I mean, not the same that, in the same in the sense that it was just this looping ball that somehow nobody thought to handle. You know, it just looped over 5 Liverpool players and in.
Right.
So I mean that. Well, not to. Anyway, 2 stupid goals. That's usually what happens with Spurs. You know, usually Spurs will have this
group,
and they'll just like they'll lose their clean sheet on some stupid goal, and that's why you typically don't.
Or a really amazing goal by Mahrez earlier this season.
It was incredible that the Spurs lost their clean sheet in the first minute of that game.
Yes. all those people who brought in Toby Alderweireld, they were loving it. Yeah. Okay, so what are we going to talk about on this episode of the podcast? We are going to, of course, give you the rundown of the Hail Cheaters mini league, and then we'll actually do our first ever Always Cheating Rate My Team.
Right. Despite the fact that I said we don't do Rate My Teams, we're actually doing Rate My Teams.
We're about to get into the business like crazy. Then we'll give you a rundown of all the action from Game Week 10, more specifically 3 main fixtures that we picked out. And then, of course, we'll take you into the something I'm still trying to trademark, the Always Cheating Optimizer.
Into the optimizer,
and we'll get some transfer talk in there for Everton and United as we get you ready for game week 11.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so going to the Hail Cheaters mini league, we continually have to welcome new managers who are joining daily. Josh, how can they join the mini league?
They can just go to our Facebook page, and there's an auto join link there. They can also go to alwayscheating.com, click on the league button, and you can join there too.
Awesome. Who's in the lead?
I guess we could just rattle off the like 17 digits that you could add in to the website.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone get a pen and a piece of paper.
Pen and paper.
If you could, and then go get to go to fantasypremierleague.com.
Yeah, just get
your login.
Mm-hmm. Dip your quill in some ink.
All right, so Colin Bothwell, he's still taking charge.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive. Still,
I thought he was going to have
a bit overall, but I think a lot of people overall like it was not a great game week. I mean, I had a terrible game week, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't like it was a game week where everyone was getting 70, 80 points.
Yeah, it's true. Unless you had Harry Kane, which we'll get to in a little bit, there wasn't a lot of fanfare.
Right. So Colin had 40, still well in the lead. 27 points ahead of anybody else in our league.
And he drops to 277 in the overall standings. And this struck me about Colin. He's obviously put together a pretty dynamite team to be that high up in the rankings. But he's got Cameron Jerome and Diouf up front.
Yeah, and it's in a tough spot.
Yeah, I guess he's in a situation where it's hard to dump one or the other, get somebody else in, or he's just holding out for Aguero coming back. See, he's got $3.2 million in the bank, so that may be the plan.
Yeah, and Diouf is should be back this week, and they're away to Newcastle. So, I would love to have Diouf this weekend. Yeah. I won't have Diouf this weekend, but I would like to have him.
All right, so who's up there? Who else is up there with Colin in the standings?
All right, we got Isle of Nabumbu still in second place. Axe Murderers jumping up to third. Just like running riot right now in the league with 56 points. They're up to 580, just two behind.
It feels strange to say go Axe Murderers, but I'll just go with it.
Let's go with it. Stone Cold Stunners, Mark Johnson dropped down to fourth. And Sean Comiskey's Rag Mata Rag is up to fifth place.
I have to point out at 34th position in the Hail Cheaters League is the Golden Boys 8. And they had the foresight to actually captain Harry Kane in this game week and ended up getting 34 points with him for a total of 70, which looks like at least the highest score in the top 100 of Hail Cheaters.
Yeah, I'd love to know Tom Alden, the Golden Boys 8. Maybe it's Tom Alden. Maybe he's just the front. Well, maybe there are many Golden Boys who run this account together. 8 of them.
every 8 weeks, you get your shot at the team?
Maybe it's like, maybe they're like 8 brothers, and that's like what their mom called them, or the Golden Boys 8.
All right, so
we got a lot of jokes this episode. Very strong.
We're on fire today. All right, so then in 73rd position is the Killer Bees FC. Managed by DB Cooper. We actually got a message from DB asking if we could actually rate his team, which we've never done before on this podcast, but we're happy to start here with Mr. DB Cooper, which I was saying to you earlier, Josh. DB Cooper, it sounds like a Hollywood actor name from the 80s, like somebody who starred in The Breakfast Club or something.
Wasn't there somebody called DB Cooper?
I know there was a DB Sweeney. But maybe I'm just conflating D.B. Sweeney with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, D.B. Cooper, yeah, that was the person who hijacked that plane. Wasn't the person who, like hijacked the plane they were never found?
Like, this is a real-life story?
Yeah, there's a story about someone who hijacked a plane, and they jumped out over the water, or like onto an island or something like that. And
let me get this straight. Somebody hijacked a plane and like they were doing a stunt, like they jumped out of the plane right as it was going to crash and they landed on an island somewhere.
No, they jumped on, they hijacked the plane. And then he like jumped out and was never found.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
My God. And now this guy is playing the Fantasy Premier League.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? Well, okay. I guess he didn't jump out of the...
Let's get this story straight.
God. Okay, so this is a true story. Yeah. But yeah, it was a person who hijacked a plane, extorted $200,000 in ransom, and then disappeared and was never found. I actually don't know if he jumped out of the plane or if he like made the plane land somewhere.
This is amazing. I'm really happy that DB Cooper is now part of the Hail Cheaters League. All right, so we're going to rate DB's team here.
All right.
And how do you want to do this, Josh? You want to start with the goalkeeping situation and work our way up to the front line?
Yes, and should we have like a metric in place? Okay, let's go goalkeeper, defense, midfielder, forwards, and we'll rate them on the Poku scale.
Okay, Poku scale, right. Our favorite player in the MLS, Poku forever.
1 to 10 Pokus.
10 being the best.
Yes, 1 being not the best.
Bad Poku.
Bad.
Okay, so DB, he's starting Simon Mignolet of Liverpool in his goal, and on the bench he's got McCarthy, Crystal Palace's backup keeper, who has not been getting any minutes as of late. So it's basically Mignolet is the only factor here.
Right. What made sense at the time, because McCarthy did start. Did he start with the first like 5 or 6 games?
Yeah, he's got a total of 18 points in the game.
McCarthy started the first 6 games.
Yeah. And here is a question of philosophy, right? How much do you believe in goalkeeper rotation versus just having one heavy hitter that you never take out of your team?
And this was the problem with McCarthy in general. This is why a lot of people were bringing McCarthy in during wild cards, and I didn't want to do it because I was worried about this situation happening, which is now you really have no rotation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very hard to ever get rid of that second goalkeeper.
See how it was hard to resist because he was a 4.0 at the time.
Right. But it was just I mean, you just got to pick your spots a little bit with that kind of thing, right? Like, I know there are people who were so upset when they had Gomez, Target, and McCarthy.
Right.
And it was like, well, all three of those guys were.
You know, they're on the bubble.
Yeah, they were on the bubble, like, at every stage. No one, like, everyone knew that, you know, once Bertrand came back, the Target was gone. So it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with having one of those players. You know, I think Gomez in particular was a really attractive player on Liverpool for the, you know, 7 weeks or so that he played.
Absolutely.
But if you have too many gambles, then you're really in a tough spot because it's just going to take you forever to get rid of them. And then you're transferring out defenders, you know, which is not I mean, defenders are, you know, really, my, like, negligence of defenders has actually been a big part of what's brought me down a little bit this year.
All right, well, we'll get to the defense in a minute. But so yeah. On the basis of Mignolet and McCarthy, I'm going to give this maybe 5 pokus out of 10. Because
I might even say four pokus, because there's no rotation. And I, you know, so the thing is, Mignolet is kind of expensive, too.
I feel like he's at 5.1 now.
I feel like you could turn Mignolet into like either Jack Butland or into Mihail.
Right.
West Brom have some tough fixtures coming up, you're probably going to get a lot of save points with Mihail anyway. So if you're only going to have one keeper, I don't think I'd want it to be Mignolet. And they don't even really have very good fixtures coming up either. It's a tough spot with all the Liverpool players. Jurgen Klopp, the timing was really rough for him.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's going to average to about 5 pokus right there. So in the defense, DB's got Ashley Williams of Swansea, Nacho Monreal, Craig Dawson, a personal favorite of mine, and then Francis, whose first name I will never commit to memory, Simon Francis of Bournemouth. So he's got 4 starters here. Oh, also Micah Richards of Aston Villa. So he's got 5 starters here, which to me that's really crucial. Like, you got to know that these guys are all playing 90 minutes or thereabouts. So he's got full rotation happening here.
And Francis, you know, very valuable player. We did our statistic. He was a very valuable player. We did our defensive number breakdown. We talked about just how valuable he was and how the window was kind of closing on Francis, and we're seeing it now, right? I mean, the consecutive 5-1 losses.
Yeah, the defense has really been completely decimated.
And there, what's tough about Bournemouth, and I think, you know, many of us are rooting for Bournemouth, right? I mean, it's hard to root against them.
Up the cherries.
I mean, the fixtures they have coming up, you know, away to Southampton, away to Swansea, home to Everton, away to Chelsea, home to Man United, even away to West Brom. The next 10 fixtures are all pretty tough. They have one good fixture home to Newcastle.
Right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, I mean, Francis, it does have a bit of an assist threat too, and maybe they can pop out a clean sheet somewhere.
How does the Swansea defense feel to you? Because they haven't been getting a lot of clean sheets this season. And Ashley Williams, he's kind of an on one game, off the next sort of defender.
Yeah. Only two clean sheets in 10 for Swansea defenders so far. Yeah, I mean, I'm personally so fond of Ashley Williams I would get rid of Ashley Williams, I think.
Yeah, you know, I just want him to be more of a goal threat every season. And he never seems to come through there.
So he's got 1.5 in the bank. So you could turn Ashley Williams into... there are basically two defensive teams that you really want to start stocking up on, or at least picking up one defender for your team. One is the Everton defense, and the other one is the Man United defense, because they're about to go on this. Both teams have this very long run coming up, about 8 to 10 weeks, where the fixtures are just fantastic. Clean sheet potential in all of them, basically. Mm-hmm. And everyone's talking about Everton, but Man United's fixtures are almost as good. And Phil Jones is back, and he's playing every week. And that is almost a like-for-like swap in terms of money. I think that Phil Jones is... He is 5.2.
I'll do you one better. Everyone is talking about Everton. Nobody's talking about Manchester United defense. Why isn't anyone talking about the Southampton defense? Next week, they're home to Bournemouth. Then they are away to Sunderland. Then they host Stoke. And then, of course, they run into Manchester City. But just after City, they play Villa. And then they play Crystal Palace.
Yeah, so...
I think that's a great run. I'm looking at Virgil van Dijk right now. Like I'm guaranteeing you he's in my team next week.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know. I would just kill for my wild card right now. All right, I don't have defenders in any of those three teams.
So going back to DB's team here. So Williams, we want to get out. We want to upgrade him to look at Everton, look at United, maybe look at Southampton if you're like me. I think Nacho Monreal and Craig Dawson, those guys are nailed on. Great picks. And then Micah Richards, of course, Aston Villa is a dumpster fire.
Right.
But why not just leave him on your bench at 4.5?
Right.
So
And now, new manager coming for Aston Villa. I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. I mean, it's amazing, right? I mean, Sherwood was like, he was all but getting like, carried off the field on the shoulders of his players last season.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've gone on a run of, well, I know they went winless in 9. So they have 4 points through 10 games. So they won their first game and they have 1 point from 9 games. I mean, no one survives that, right?
Right. Yeah. No, they don't. If you're going to keep one of these guys on the bench, I would get rid of Francis first for obvious reasons. Bournemouth is just going down the tubes. And
you get rid of Francis before Williams? Because to me, well, I guess Williams is away to Norwich in game week 12 and home to Bournemouth in game week 13. So
at least you can get one or two points from Ashley Williams. If you're starting a Bournemouth defender, you're lucky if you do get that 1 point, if anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rate this defense 6.5 pokus. There's good rotation here. Everybody's playing, but there are at least three targets here that could be swapped.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's hard to give it. So the rating going forward is worse than the rating that in the lead up to this fixture, or in the lead up into the next few game weeks. I mean, it's not looking good going into the next few weeks, but it looks very good up till now. I mean, Dawson's been excellent, Monreal's been excellent, Francis. So, but probably some changes are going to have to start taking place.
Right. Well, I need a number. I need a poku.
All right, I'll say 6 pokus.
All right, now we're looking at DB's midfield here. It's template-based, for sure. We've got Alexis, Payet, Mahrez, De Bruyne, and then on the bench, everyone's favorite,
Ashley Westwood. Yeah.
Which Ashley Westwood did not feature in game week 10, which would be a concern. Now, Westwood makes for a good bench midfielder that he's been getting 90 minutes pretty regularly. You can count on him to come in and fill in and give you 1 or 2 points if needed.
Yeah. I think this is a fantastic midfield. There's not even that much to say about it because it's such a it's very close to what I would call the current template midfield.
Yeah, right? but it's one you can't really argue with.
No, nope.
One thing you could say is DB's missing a differential, like a guy like Sadio Mane or a Mesut Ozil is moving up the rankings now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's really nothing to argue with here. I mean, I guess you could maybe think about if you were worried about Mahrez or didn't feel like he was going to be contending but they've got Watford, West Brom, Watford, and Newcastle in their next three, right? I mean, those are all great fixtures. Yeah. So, I think I wouldn't change much about that midfield.
9.5 pokus for me.
Yeah, 9.5.
9.5.
All right, I'll go 9.5 too.
All right, agree. We agree.
Little 0.5 loss because we're all getting a little screwed with the Ashley Westwood. I think he had like a bonus point in a loss or something like right before all of us played our wild cards. And so, I mean, does he have any like attacking points at all this year? Okay, he had an assist in game week 1.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Ashley Westwood.
Oh yeah.
So he had an assist. He had an assist in game week 1.
Right.
And he had like a random bonus point in game week 3. And I think all of us, many of us, were looking for just like some 4.5 million midfielder with some potential.
Right.
And so we all drafted him, and it's been the so from game week four on, it's been 2-2-2-2-2-1-2-0.
That's not good.
That's not George Boyd level.
No, exactly. That's right. Where is who is the George Boyd of this season? That's an excellent question.
I'm not sure if they've like made their appearance yet.
Well, if you do have a Boyd vote for the season, hit us up at Hail Cheaters on Twitter.
Yeah, because I feel like we found our Charlie Austin, right? Like Jamie Vardy is doing the Charlie Austin thing this year,
without a doubt.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe. Wes Houlihan, Jan M. Villa has actually been pretty strong this year.
Okay.
One goal, three assists. He's a 5.0 midfielder. Mark Albrighton for a little while.
Albrighton, for sure. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that shout.
Danny Drinkwater, 4.5. Got you three assists so far this year.
Boydian, I would call it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to DB's front line, Pelle, Costa, and Jamie Vardy, everybody's favorite. Another great lineup right here. And what I was saying about the midfield not having much of a differential, you have to kind of like Diego Costa here as a possible differential.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have to be a little worried in that game. I mean, we saw the Costa that we... So last week they played an Estoril team that's truly garbage, right? I mean... Could definitely get relegated this year.
Absolutely.
Although it looks like Bournemouth is going to take one of those spots, but
they're garbage. But yeah. They're also garbage that's ablaze.
They are flaming hot, flaming garbage. And so he scored two goals, both of which were kind of lucky, right? One was an own goal, and one was
easy tap in from Willian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, given. Well, they were playing the worst goalkeeper in the league, and I hate to say that as an American, but Brad Guzan is the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League, right?
Well, did you see Arthur Burich this weekend for Bournemouth?
That's an interesting show.
He was a disaster.
All right, so Burich and Guzan are battling out for the worst goalkeeper.
I do not disagree with you.
Very sad to say that.
Yeah, Guzan looks wildly out of form.
He really does. No confidence. He's going to be playing for like Chicago Fire next year.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of made a mold of that classic athletic keeper, a save keeper, and he's just appeared very clumsy this season.
It's just not working. Exactly. All right. The Pelle thing. It's hard for me to talk about Pelle without reading my own bias into it, which is that what I'm going to stop doing this year, Brandon, I've decided. This was like, I had like a day of soul searching yesterday.
I love this. I knew this was going to turn into a Ray Josh's team.
Well, this is, you know, we're using this as a way to talk about the league more generally.
Yes.
I don't know if I told DB that when I said we'd rate his team, but that's what's happening.
So be it.
I didn't want to pick up Pelle, and we talked about the stats a couple weeks ago, and It seemed like, you know, all the underlying stats were there. I mean, the actual, like the points were there too. You know, he had been scoring and assisting and I thought about differentials. I thought about Kane. I thought about other people, and I was like, nope, I have to bring in Pelle. It's the logical choice.
Right.
And I'm not playing with my heart right now.
Right.
You know, it's a little too, everything's a little too by the book. And so
Are you playing with fear, would you say? Like fear that everyone else is going to get Pelle in and ride the wave?
Yeah, maybe. Gotcha. That might be part of it. Fear of making a decision that isn't rational.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more fun to do the Premier League when you're taking some risks.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if they're calculated risks. I mean, I brought in Wilfred Boney a couple weeks ago, and that was like the right kind of calculated risk.
Yeah, and it worked for you. You got a brace right off the bat.
Yeah, even though you looked terrible in that Man United game.
Well, everyone kind of looked terrible.
Everyone looked terrible, and I don't know how much to blame him because no one was giving him the ball. I mean, Yaya Toure honestly shouldn't even been on the pitch. I mean,
he was out of control that game.
That guy had no interest in playing that game. He's probably mad about, like, they missed his half birthday or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his deal was. But no one was feeding him the ball. And that was, you know, if he wasn't injured, you could bring in someone like Samir Nasri, who sometimes has this kind of, like, nasty quality, you know, where he can just, like, as much as I dislike Nasri, I admire the way he can just be kind of a jerk sometimes.
Have you seen Nasri's new haircut, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Oh, he's just like gone all full bleach blonde. He looks like Robin, that's a Swedish pop singer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, they played an emotional game in the Champions League on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? And De Bruyne was not at his best.
No, he kept giving the ball away.
Yeah, so just a weird game. So, but anyway, that was like, Boney was fun to root for him because it was like, it was a player that I had that not many people had, and it was sort of, you know, I don't know. So I miss having that. I feel like I don't like it when I'm running like with everybody else. You know, it's more like I'd rather win or lose on my own terms a little bit more.
So, would you like to have Diego Costa in your front line right now?
Yeah, I think I would actually.
So
I like his Costa. I mean, the thing is, like you just mentioned, how good Southampton's fixtures are. I mean, they are great coming up. So I'm certainly not taking Pele out right now.
No, there will be a strong impulse to captain him next weekend.
Yep, I think so too. So we've got but Costa. You know, I mean, the fixtures are okay coming up.
The worry is just the team itself is not firing at all.
Yeah,
they're kind of imploding.
It's inexplicable.
Yeah. Really,
it cannot be explicit.
All right, so I'll go a hard 8 on this front line. Jamie Vardy is inarguable. Pele is a good shot with the fixture run coming, and Costa good as a differential, but the team play at Chelsea is questionable.
Yeah, I think. I'm going to take, he's getting a 1 point drop because of my anti-Pele bias.
Wow.
I'm going to give him 7 pokus. No, that's unfair. 7.5 pokus.
All right. So somebody out there should tally up all the pokus for us. And then we can get DB's final score. But I'd say he did pretty well. And he's made 12 transfers total this season, so pretty prudent with his transfers. Not taking a lot of hits there.
Yep, and, top 200K on the season, just excellent.
Yeah, and a good team value at 102.1 million with 1.5 million in the bank. So, DB, it looks like you've got some room to maneuver with those transfers we were suggesting.
Yep, I think the move this week would be to do something with the defense.
Yeah, for sure. I think we should all cheaters out there need to look at our defense.
Take a long look. Hard luck.
All right, so let's review the action from game week 10, or the main events to be specific. Saturday was a little light until we got to, if you're on the East Coast here in New York, until you got to 12:30 with Arsenal Everton. But before that, of course, we saw the AU duel. At the early kickoff where I got my 2 bonus points.
Yeah, did you watch that game?
I did not watch this game, no. All these games are happening simultaneously, so what game did I actually watch? I watched the West Ham-Chelsea game, which was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I watched that game
just
too.
Just to watch Chelsea completely fall apart.
It was pretty entertaining. I was really surprised that Payet got to keep that assist.
I frankly wasn't surprised. Particularly on corner kicks, Opta seems pretty generous.
Okay.
Unless it's like, I don't know, unless somebody grabs the ball and makes a football-like move, it feels like the assist is still on.
It felt like a football-like move, though. I mean, it was a pretty significant. So the ball goes into the box, Diego Costa kicks it out, and then the guy gets the ball. But like that, but usually a kick out is not considered it wasn't like that was a shot on goal that the goalkeeper kicked out. You know,
I wish I was looking at this replay right now so we could talk through it as I watch. But
didn't change the direction of the ball enough or something.
Yeah,
but yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting match too. I was really frustrated with Hazard, who like is just so out of form. It's really hard to watch because he won't even shoot on goal anymore. I mean he's so fast still, and you know his positioning is fantastic. But every time he's in the box now, he turns back out, you know, he starts heading to the corner and trying to find someone to pass it. Like, he's just not that aggression that has marked his game the first couple of years in the Premier League is really, not
there.
Don't
you think he's playing like a guy who he wants to show everyone that he doesn't want to be there in a way? Like he's just kind of done and wants out.
I don't know. I don't know if that's really true.
It's hard to say not knowing the kind of guy he is. I don't feel like I have a really good sense of who Hazard is as a person. Is he a petty person? Is he a generous person?
I think the fact that we don't know that much about him is the sign that he is a pretty good guy. Right?
Yes, that's true. I would accept that.
He just seems like a normal person, like a nice person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if he did want it. I'm sure half that team wants out right now. I mean, at that season, you know, I mean, you've got like your coach is losing his mind in front of everybody. And there's just no, you know, yeah, it's just it's really and there's no combination that seems to be working. Every game, there's some, it's always the referee's fault, like in spite of all available evidence. I mean, yeah. How could you argue with the red card in that game or the two yellows? I mean, it was.
You can't. You really can't.
You can't. And the ball didn't cross the line. I'm sorry, but it didn't.
You know? that was the best. I mean, was that perhaps the closest goal line technology we've seen yet since they introduced it?
I couldn't believe they didn't call that a goal. I mean, I could believe it because it did. But like watching it in real time, that was.
Yeah.
Well, any previous year, they would have called that a goal.
Yeah. But I mean, the watch doesn't go off. It's not a goal.
No, but I mean, like back in like you know 2 years ago, whatever before, like that is absolutely a goal.
Yeah, they probably would.
Yeah.
So the main event this of Saturday was Arsenal Everton.
Yeah.
Did you think the scoreline was a little flattering for Everton here?
Well, possibly, especially considering the way the goal was scored. I mean, you could almost count it as an own goal.
Yeah.
I thought it actually might get counted as an own goal. I mean, I guess it was.
Barkley likes a good deflected goal.
So far away, yeah, yeah.
I mean, how many of those has he scored through his career?
Million.
to be generous.
Yeah, there was nothing because there was really obviously there's nothing Czech could do when he shot it. I thought they looked a lot better in the second half. Like maybe from like the 60th minute on, they had a couple chances. Lukaku almost scored.
Yeah.
It was just. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Arsenal looked great, though. It was a really strong performance. I mean, they kind of like you know Everton really wanted to win this game. They really, you know, they wanted to you know come back after that Man U game. And I mean, Arsenal just really they dominated.
So a couple talking points here. One, Olivier Giroud gets the start. So you've got the Giroud Walcott conundrum once again, and I think You're tempted to put Giroud up as another differential, going back to our rate my team exercise that we just did, which went very well, Josh, I think.
I thought it would take us 10 and it took us 35 minutes, but other than that, I thought it went pretty well.
When Giroud's on form, he is a great fit for this Arsenal team, but he's not a guaranteed start, and that's a concern. But it's also a concern for a lot of people who probably brought Walcott into their teams. Over the last month, we had like six consecutive starts in the league, I think.
Yeah, you can't have other player. That's just all there is to it. You can't have Giroud or Walcott.
Right, right.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You just don't know when you're going to get a one-pointer from those teams. And there are so many midfielders right now who are delivering.
Yeah.
I mean, just up and down the league, right? I mean, just, you know, 6, 7, 8 million midfielders who are all in that price range and lots of forwards, too, for that matter, who you could have instead of Giroud. So, you just got to put your eggs in the Sanchez or the. Okay, so Sanchez is obviously the main character here, but you've got the double Arsenal midfield right now with Ozil.
I do. I kind of lucked out with Ozil because he was a gamble to start the season. I mean, everyone is picking Arsenal to win the league, and I felt like Ozil wasn't in a lot of initial teams as we were all building our teams before game week one. So I brought Ozil in on a punt, and I've just been lucky how he's really emerged after the first 10 weeks.
He could have scored in that game, too.
Yeah.
There was that offside, kind of a marginal offsides call in the first half. I mean, I know that was saved by Tim Howard, but, you know, it was a pretty good shot on goal.
He just looks
so aggressive.
He does. The frustrating thing with Ozil, though, is he's always on the verge of scoring. He is always going to put it off the post or put it right at the keeper. He's very good at shooting right at the keeper.
But he is actually scoring a fair amount this season. I mean, not just in the Champions League, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super happy to have him. And
yeah. This might be the best run of form he's had since he joined Arsenal. I mean, I know he had a run his first season where he had like two or three, like maybe it was three double-digit games in a row, around like Christmas time or something like that. But it didn't feel quite as good. He feels like the dominant player in that team right now. I mean, I know that Sanchez is – he and Sanchez sort of combined are doing it. But
well, Ozil's
just pulling all the strings.
He's the quarterback, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If we can use a sports metaphor on a sports podcast.
he's the conductor.
Yeah. And Arsenal's defense, a lot of people are investing in Bellerin and Monreal. Koscielny here scores.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird situation because Gabriel, so Mertesacker apparently was just sick, and he should be able to play in the Capital One Cup game on Wednesday. So that feels like a tricky situation. I'm not sure why you'd want either of those players when you could have Bellerin, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the other big talking point for me here, and we're going to get to some transfer talk with Everton in a little bit, but how do the last two results for Everton impact how we feel about their mental health going into this run of fixtures?
Well, I think the fixtures are going to have to carry it, and I would expect that they will. You know, I think that it's just a very strong run of games. About they have 10 weeks where you'd expect them to be favored in probably 8 of those 10 games. And the Jake Yelka thing is tough, though, right? Because he is really the heart of that team.
He's the captain. He's the general, if you will. But yeah. More than him, Roberto Martinez is.
Yeah.
We go back to the whole dry cleaning pronunciation of his name. Martinez.
I think it does turn. Okay, well, anyway, so we'll get into the Everton defense in a minute. From a fantasy perspective, I feel fine about their attackers, but it does worry me a little bit. The defenders long term, I'm a little worried.
Yeah. So that's your Saturday, and then Sunday was obviously a big day with two premier derbies happening. Sunderland, Newcastle. Sam Allardyce got his first win 3-0 over Newcastle. So I have to laugh at all of the people who said Wijnaldum suddenly became essential after his 4 goals.
You were so delighted, I'm sure.
Chuffed, I was.
I still can't believe you got up for this game.
I did. We had come off of quite a long night out carousing with some pals, and
both
I was
to our respective homes around 5 a.m.
Yeah, so I was on about 3 hours of sleep, and I woke up for this game because I'm a crazy person.
So did you like set an alarm, or were you just like?
No, yeah, I set a little alarm. Yeah.
You set an alarm to wake up 3 hours later.
Yeah.
That actually is crazy.
I always set an alarm on the weekend, because otherwise I wouldn't wake up.
Oh, really? I'm like turning into one of those people now where I like it's like 8 o'clock and I'm up.
No, I would sleep until like 12:30 in the afternoon if I didn't have an alarm, no matter what the day. Wow. I am anti-farmer. So anyway, I mean, it was worth watching just for the second half spectacle when Sunderland really came into it and started scoring the goals and taking the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, we thought they would look a little tighter with Allardyce. All the defender points for Sunderland in that game were crazy. I think that they
DeAndre Yedlin getting a clean sheet.
Yeah, Yedlin got a clean sheet. Pantamillan got 10 points. Billy Jones had a 15 pointer. And how many times, by the way, have you been hoping for that 15 pointer? How many times is it like you have like one game left in the game week and you've got only one defender left and you're like, maybe a 15 pointer?
That was Craig Dawson against Everton earlier this season when he got his goal.
Didn't happen though.
Didn't happen.
And then an early defender goal is one of the greatest things that can happen to you.
Oh, yeah. Then you can just stop rooting for a clean sheet. You take your points and you go home.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little different than it used to be. When they tweaked the rules a couple years ago, it used to be if a defender scored a goal, even if they lost the clean sheet, they were on for 3 bonus points.
Yeah.
And nowadays, that is definitely not the case.
Not so much.
Yeah.
All right, Harry Kane got his hat trick against Bournemouth. As we've mentioned ad nauseum, Bournemouth not looking so hot. Spurs on the rise, though. They have a tough run of fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
And then the big derby, the Manchester derby, everyone is reporting that it was a snooze. I watched it. I can confirm.
Yep, it was a total dud.
As a De Bruyne owner, he probably looked as bad as he's looked the entire season.
Yeah,
he's probably a little exhausted from playing so much, and he.
Do you have any concern that they might rest him this weekend?
I mean,
home to Norwich.
I would guess not, because
I guess they can't, right? Because Silva and Ezra are both out.
He is the creative midfielder for them right now, and as we discussed, Yaya Toure is just kind of. A wild man or a very uninspired man going forward.
Yeah. The fantasy site says that Silva is due back this weekend, but I I'm not sure that that's true. I don't, is he even practicing yet? I have not heard word that he.
I saw a picture of Silva riding an exercise bike next to Sergio Aguero, also riding an exercise bike. That is not an image that instills me with a lot of confidence.
No, it's true. You need them like in the jersey, like with the penny, you know, over them.
Yes, exactly. I mean, worst case scenario, I think, is that. Okay, maybe Silva plays instead of De Bruyne for some reason. Silva would play 60 minutes, and then De Bruyne would come in, and he would probably score a goal or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, sure. I mean, Norwich haven't kept a clean sheet all year.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we know. Mm-hmm. Mr. Martin, we're looking at you. Where's that next book?
George R. R. Russell Martin.
All right, so Kolarov was back to everyone's delight who hung on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets his clean sheet.
Yeah, I can't believe I jumped the gun. I mean, it was just based on that press conference where he made it sound like he was going to be out for a month, like through the next international break.
Right.
And, miracle comeback. I burned 4 points to get rid of him. And
bring in Zabaleta, who's and not got playing.
I don't know what happened there. I lost my mind. Like, the Friday night before that game week, I just absolutely lost my mind. It's the only explanation. I'd already made my two transfers. I was done.
So this is a tough game to talk about fantasy wise because I don't think we learned anything.
Yeah.
I guess Phil Jones would be one of the key takeaways, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5.2 defender, picked up 3 bonus points.
Yeah. Bill Boney, he looked isolated, but he didn't look. He couldn't hold the ball up to save his life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he looked great against Bournemouth, and he's. I'd be very surprised if
he'll play.
Yeah,
he'll play. Boney will play.
Yeah, Boney plays.
Speaking of playing, Christian Benteke gets in. Liverpool versus Southampton. He made a substitute appearance and scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game where we both lost clean sheets at the death. Me with Nathaniel Klein. You with Martin Skrtel.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Benteke now down to 8.2 points. Fixtures still aren't very good. I mean, they have Chelsea and Man City away in the next 3. So, you know, long term, maybe, I guess, you know, game week 14, they've got a run where they play Swansea, Newcastle, West Brom, and Watford, and then Leicester. And then Sunderland. Yeah, actually, that gets pretty good. I think if you can hold off for about 3 weeks on bringing in some Liverpool players, you're going to be feeling pretty good about
things. Yeah, it's going to be a tough 3 weeks for you. Just know that going into it.
Mm-hmm. Hang tough.
And Southampton struggled a little bit here. Pele didn't see much of the ball at all. But, I mean, who cares? He's playing at home to Bournemouth next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, if he doesn't next week make up for the points that he hasn't got the last 2 weeks, I think there will be a lot of disappointed managers out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can see what Liverpool is trying to do right now. I mean, he's trying to find out what the best team is, and he has a lot of injured players. And so what do you do in that situation? You tighten things up.
Right.
You don't leave yourself exposed. It was really an unfortunate goal. I mean, not just from a fantasy perspective, but it was a shocking goal. I don't know if you felt the same way. I honestly thought that it was going to be 1-0. I couldn't believe it when Southampton.
It was shocking. I mean, just the way Jurgen Klopp celebrated when Benteke scored. I think that they felt that they had been organized enough the entire game that with that goal, that it was done. It was over. There was no way Southampton was scoring.
I wonder if Lallana gave him one of those hugs. Again,
the thanks, Dad hug.
Yeah, and then Mane lost his mind.
He did. In fact,
yeah, it was crazy. 2 yellow cards after that, right? Like one was in the 80th. I think they both came after the goal, didn't they?
That was in a very short span of time. That was actually great watching it because I think Mane is a great midfield differential, and a lot of serious managers are fielding him right now. So he gets the game-winning goal. Maybe he's looking at some bonus points. And then he comes out and gets a red card. He basically alleviates all that concern.
Yeah, it's true.
But then my concern jumps to, oh, God, this will impact the type of service and attacking play that Pele is working with next week. And we want to see him scoring a lot of goals.
Ah, but it won't matter because there's a Capital One Cup game this week.
Yes.
So his His red card does not matter from a fantasy perspective.
So this was the perfect outcome for everybody.
Yeah, basically. It worked out great.
It was really good. Okay, so we've kind of been hinting at this the entire episode, but we do want to quickly touch upon some transfer talk, particularly Everton, coming upon Game Week 11, much touted as the start of their epic run in which they will move up to first place in the Premier League table. Now, who is really worth investing in right now? We've expressed some concern over Everton's defense. Largely going to focus our efforts towards the attackers, right?
I think so. We'll have to find out exactly who fills in for
Jags.
Who fills in for Jags? Because he is a hard guy to replace. Looks like it's going to be Funes Mori.
Funes Mori. Yeah, sure. That sounds right. Yeah.
So Funes Mori, it could be Tyus Browning too.
Yeah, you were expressing some concern at the height of Funes Mori. He's only 5'9".
Seems a bit short, doesn't it, for a defender? I guess there is that. Who's that defender who's the center back on the Chilean national team?
The bulldog guy.
Yeah. I think that guy's pretty short. And I think he plays the center back, can be done.
Is it like Hollywood actors, right? Like they're actually a lot shorter when you meet them in person. You didn't expect them to be so short after seeing them on screen.
Yeah.
Jed Jelka could be 5'4", for all you know.
That's true. We don't really know. Yeah, that's true.
And where's the vertical leap? Is Funes Mori's vertical leap on his Wikipedia page?
I like that it says Phil Jed goes, he's back on Christmas Day, on Boxing Day. Isn't that nice?
What a return it will be.
What a Boxing Day present that will be.
Yeah. His children will be on the sidelines going, yay, Daddy, happy Boxing Day.
I think...
I will register my concern over this Everton defense going into this stretch.
Okay, yeah. They've kept three clean sheets so far in the season, which is reasonable. One away to Tottenham, one away to Swansea. One away to Southampton. Isn't that interesting? Three clean sheets in games. You wouldn't necessarily expect them to keep them.
Yeah.
I know they gave up two goals to Southampton at home at the beginning of the season. They're never the tightest of defenses, I would say. Under Roberto Martinez, I feel like they get a lot of goals. Like they're known for having goal scoring defenders. Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman. Even Phil Jagielka, right? Last year,
he had that goals? Screamer in the Merseyside derby.
Yeah, he had four goals last year.
Yeah, he can get his head on him too. And Brendan Galloway has been really involved inside the box.
He played so far forward in that Everton game, kind of mistake filled, I will say. But he was on the ball a lot.
Yeah, he plays young, right?
Yeah, but but the problem is with Galloway. I mean, you get him for like 2 weeks, and then it's international break, and looks like Baines is set to come back. So. Yeah. It's probably not worth it. I think spend a little more money, so I guess I would look at John Stones. Seamus Coleman, if you had the money. I mean, a lot of people have money right now after the Aguero thing. So yeah. Coleman is an interesting option. He's 5.9. Always a goal threat. Has a goal already this season, I believe, right? He does not. He has one assist. But he's looked dangerous.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is the kind of hard-hitting stats people kind of prefer. I think I would go with John Stones, who's a really solid defender, picks up bonus points when they keep clean sheets. He already has three bonus points in the season. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes, doesn't pick up a lot of yellow cards, mm-hmm. Only has one through the first 10 games. So I think I like Stones.
All right, let's stop dancing around it. Barkley and Lukaku are the only guys we need to look at, right?
Yeah. So the question is, how much do you want Barkley? I mean, do you want Barkley so much that you're willing to get rid of Mahrez or Payet?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, IU would be the like for me, and I think I'd be happy to make that swap.
Yeah,
that means I'm benching Mahrez.
So he scored we scored against Arsenal, kind of an own goal that was counted as a goal. Looked great at the start of the season. Had two goals and three assists in the first five games. The four games before this, he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, definitely dipped in form.
And not a great run of fixtures, but not terrible either. So, yeah, at 6.8, though, that money can be spent elsewhere. I just don't know. I mean, I think Lukaku is the one that I'd look at first, and then Barkley second.
Yeah, I had 6.8 for Barkley. That feels like a value to me.
Yeah, it is value, but there are just so many value midfielders right now.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking at bringing in a Everton player?
It would only be Lukaku or Barkley. And I think it's going to have to be one or the other. And
you've already got you've got Tim Gomes just wasting away.
I do. But I could continue to play the 3-5-2. And if I bring in Barkley for IU, then I run Alexis, De Bruyne, Ozil, Barkley, and Mahrez. And then...
Yeah, that could be an interesting move.
Yeah. But Lukaku he's guaranteed to come out with at least 3 or 4 or 5 goals in the next month or two.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, based on, he's not, he's been pretty consistent so far this year. He scored 5 goals. He has 2 assists.
He's been consistent for Lukaku.
Which
is a little inconsistent.
I think he's actually been a little more consistent than he's been in previous years.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't had like one of those epic 10-week stretches where he hasn't scored.
Right.
He's already picked up 8 bonus points this year too.
Right.
And he's 8.4, which is it's very affordable.
I agree. He is correctly priced. Thank you to the FPL game for correctly pricing him.
I'd rather have Lukaku than Diego Costa over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Right. So now you're also mentioning United's fixture list coming up is almost equally enticing, but not a lot of people are talking about them.
Yeah, and I guess maybe because we still don't know which United players we want. I mean, Juan Mata is... I mean, you were actually right a few weeks ago when you were... when you badmouthed him ahead of his goal.
Hey, my unpopular opinion. Thank you. I will always be proven right. Just give me enough time.
But 81 minutes the game week after that, 45 minutes subbed off at halftime, and then 66 minutes after that. So it seems like he's lost a little bit of trust with Van Gaal. And who's the midfielder here who's always going to start in that game? And I mean, Ander Herrera is really tempting if he actually plays every week,
right?
When he plays, he performs. But it just, I don't know. I don't know if he has like defensive failings that makes it hard to play him every week. I know he's not the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah, he does seem slight, less commanding.
Yeah.
What's going on with Daley Blind? Why hasn't he played the last 2 games?
I'm not really sure, actually. Because he's kind of like, they kind of play Blind in like a Santi Cazorla role, right? Like he's sort of... He's not quite a defensive mid. He's like a deep line playmaker.
Yeah, and he's a little screwed by the team setup now. Like he found his niche early in the season as central defense, but now they have Schneiderlin and Schweinsteiger and also Carrick on the bench.
Well, that's what I'm. Yeah,
no he was need to play Blind.
Well, he was. Yeah, you're right. So it wasn't really deep line playmaker so much as a player who hung around.
He was deep line.
He was almost like a sweeper, like you might have like in high school or something.
That's exactly right. So his defense is really baffling for United. It feels like they have like an entirely new cast of defenders every week in, week out.
Chris Smalling is the one option who seems to be playing every single week. Very expensive though. I mean, for 6.4 million,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're laying a lot out. I mean, he has performed really well this year. He's on 7 bonus points as captain. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's kept 6 clean sheets. I guess if you have the money, then Smalling would be an interesting option. I mean, I guess I'd rather have Smalling than any of the defenders on Everton.
Yeah, Rojo is not very appealing to me. He's a strange player. He will be getting crosses into the box, contributing to the attack, but.
Is he going to play every week? He didn't play against Arsenal.
I think it just depends on what the extent is and Valencia's with Tony V's injury.
Yeah. So I guess the one player, so Chris Smalling, possibly Phil Jones, and then Anthony Martial, who I thought looked pretty dangerous in that game.
I agree.
Like a moment of brilliance.
He split the defenders out there on the left a couple times, and looked incredibly bright and confident doing so.
Yeah, his shot, like the underlying stats do not paint an especially rosy picture. Yeah. He's not taking a lot of shots on goal. The ones he's taking, he's scoring on. And then it's always the question of like whether that means he's just more judicious or whether he just isn't quite the attacking player that we think he is.
I don't know. I think they've been playing him a little wider out last month or so. So if he gets moved maybe more centrally during the easier fixtures.
Yeah, he's basically taken Memphis's spot.
Yeah, whatever happened.
Right? Memphis hasn't played the last two games.
Yeah.
I think they've slotted him in. And the problem, of course, is that Wayne Rooney, there's just nothing there's nothing he can do to get dropped from that team. It just does not matter how long he plays poorly.
Yeah.
It's incredible, right? I mean,
it is.
He was a complete non-factor in that game.
He was. I assume you've got to play him for his experience in those big games and just hope. I mean, this has kind of been the season of hope, right? With guys like Alexis or Aguero or Harry Kane now who have not been on form, and you just hope that one game week comes along.
Yeah.
And there he is. And I guess Rooney, of all of these guys, seems the farthest away.
Yeah, absolutely. And a complete non-must-own in fantasy.
Yeah. I'm also going to make the case in our transfer talk for some Southampton players, like I said earlier. You got to be looking at their defense with some of their fixtures coming up.
Yep, I thought you made a pretty compelling case an hour or two ago.
Yeah, and I closed it. I closed that case. I just want to make sure that that people haven't forgot about me.
All right, Brendan, let's get right to game week 11. First fixture of the game week is Chelsea-Liverpool. Very interesting match.
Absolutely.
Very hard to be excited about any of your fantasy prospects in this game.
Yeah, I almost want to get rid of Nathaniel Clyne just so I have zero fantasy stake in this game and I just get to watch the sheer spectacle that it's going to be.
It seems like any result is on the table.
Yeah.
Like a 2-0 Liverpool win or a 3-3 draw or a 0-0 snoozer. Like, I would believe anything in this game.
I mean, everyone keeps waiting for... I mean, we've only had two matches to watch Jurgen Klopp, but we keep waiting for his Premier League baptism.
Yeah.
I mean, what better baptism than to beat Jose Mourinho at Stamford Bridge?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, I love the polar opposite of managerial moods, where you have the now like clinically insane Jose Mourinho versus the, I guess maybe some people would say Klopp is a little insane, but like the ceaselessly positive.
I know. I feel like I'm growing to hate Jose Mourinho, and I feel like I hate him even more than most people do, because
is this like a dad issue?
Well, no, it's more like I defended him for so long. Maybe it is like a dad issue. But it's like, it was like I was such a Jose Mourinho proponent. Like, oh, like this guy just plays mind games. He's smarter than the rest of us. Like, or, you know, he's so clever. This is just the way he does it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think he's actually like nuts. Like he's... I mean, he's losing his mind. Like, it's disturbing, and it makes me question myself for supporting him for so long.
So yeah, I agree. It's really
he's like my father.
There we go. Now we can finally stop this podcast because it's served its purpose.
So is there any
the Goodwill Hunting purpose?
Is there any fantasy prospect in that game that you'd be excited to?
No, and I mean, I'd say the one thing I'd be sure of is that there wouldn't be a clean sheet on either side. That's my feeling.
I don't know. I could see this being like the Man U Man City game, where just, you know, early mornings games are, you know, kind of weird sometimes. I don't know. I think
these teams are both too prone to make mistakes, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true. This feels like a very hard game to predict. Let's go.
Let's move on.
Another 1-1 for Jurgen Klopp.
All right, so the Crystal Palace host Manchester United. Crystal Palace having a small dip in form.
This feels like a game, if I wasn't a fantasy, if I don't think I'll have any fantasy players in this game, And if I was just if I was looking for a pure watch, this would be a fun one to watch because I really think Crystal Palace is going to win this game.
Yeah,
and I would really like to see it happen. I think that this is a game where I would start Will Zaha.
Yeah, Zaha was shunned by United.
I should say start if I were Ellen Pardew. I don't know if you want to start him in fantasy because I guess he's not necessarily a consistent starter anymore, or maybe he just didn't start in that that Leicester game for some reason. I don't know. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. Tough one to predict his minutes, I guess. But yeah, he'll always have something to prove against United because he had his opportunity to break into that team, which he wasn't able to do.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, so I suspect he actually will start.
Sure.
I think a 2-0 Crystal Palace win.
So then this game isn't going to be part of your lauded Manchester United run of fixtures.
No, I don't think so. I think Crystal Palace away is actually not a great fixture for Man United.
Okay, so then the other Manchester City is hosting Norwich.
Yep.
Goals here for City.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna predict a 5-1 Man City win.
Okay. Who's going to score that Norwich goal out of curiosity?
Russell Martin, number four in this season.
he dances with the Dragons this week.
I am excited about the Russell Martin, Dia Mercy, Mbakani back and forth all season for the goal title. How much do you love Mbakani on a scale of 1 to 10 pokus?
Probably an 8.75. So I'm going to give him like a pitchfork poku score. He's best new poku.
I'm going to give him a full 10 out of 10 pokus.
Did I read right that Mbakani is ill? I think I saw that he was ill today.
He's very tough, Brandon. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
He just hates Capital One Cup games. Okay, so 5-1. I don't disagree with you. I think City will keep a clean sheet easily in this game.
All right. Well, they've been letting in some howlers. All right, Newcastle Stoke. What do we think? Which Newcastle shows up for this game?
Probably somewhere in between the Newcastle that showed up for Sunderland and the Newcastle that showed up that hosted Norwich.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So like maybe a two
goal Newcastle.
Yeah, I would say a 2-1 Newcastle win here.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I can't believe that who knew that Jeff Cameron was so integral to that Stoke team that losing him early on would just like tear a hole through that defense.
Well, the good news for Stoke is it sounds like Ryan Shawcross is very close to coming back into the starting lineup now, and that could help shore things up.
Okay, yeah. I feel like I've been hearing that he's been very close for a long time.
Sure.
It's like when Arsene Wenger talks about like Jack Wilshere. And so he's very, very close, very, very close. It's like, no, setback. He's out for 6 months.
He's very good at FIFA. You have to see him play. It's incredible.
All right, Swansea Arsenal. Arsenal away. Would you consider captaining Alexis in this game?
I don't know. I feel like Alexis is running out of steam a little bit over the weekend, and he might need to sort of build back up to.
Yeah, he won't play in the Capital One Cup game this week for sure. So he'll have a week off. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, that's true. No Champions League fixture to mess things up.
He could end up being kind of a differential this weekend.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of captain options elsewhere. I mean, I think De Bruyne on Man City is maybe the most tempting captain option.
Yeah.
If I decide to bring him in.
Yeah. I have to get over my built-in Swansea bias, though, I think, in this matchup, because we can't forget that Swansea is in severe decline right now.
Right.
They had to struggle to beat Villa, and prior to that, they've just been a complete mess. And defensively, they can't be too trusted.
Yeah.
And then the Stoke team we were just talking about bossed them at Liberty Stadium.
Yeah. But, you know, they did win, though, and maybe that, you know, they pulled together, and maybe that will inspire them, you know? Yeah. I mean, confidence is such a weird thing in sports, you know, so.
Yeah, so given that, it's just hard to predict that Arsenal is going to steamroll them.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's hard to predict, too, but I do think Arsenal will win. I love the form they're on right now. I could see this being like a 3-1 Arsenal game.
Yeah.
All right, Watford-West Ham.
West Ham will continue to cruise, right? I mean, Watford.
Contractually, they signed some sort of deal with the Premier League this season where every team they play will get a red card about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like six games this year where West Ham played like a full 45 minutes. On
what a strange contract to make available to one team.
I know. I'm surprised they did that. I guess it's all ratings, you know. I'm sure Pepsi co-signed it or something.
Now, any regrets not having Troy Deeney back in your lineup after he finally broke his duck?
No. It was Troy had to go. Sorry, Troy. It's been real.
Now, has anybody been shopping around for West Ham defenders? I guess Cresswell is starting to look better again. Jenkinson is another option.
Yeah, they just don't keep clean sheets.
Yeah, but I'm thinking if they're going to keep a clean sheet, you know, Watford is have an incredible goal scoring pedigree.
No, that's true. But they didn't. I don't know. They didn't. Watford looked pretty good at home to Arsenal a couple weeks ago. They're always a threat to score. I mean, they scored two at Stoke, and Stoke's defense did look really good for 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
They have. I think Watford might be a difficult team to play. I feel like it's hard to get a read on them. You know,
right.
Like
so West Ham seems to do well when they set up as an away team. They sort of set up to counterattack.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you set up to counterattack against a team like Watford that it doesn't show an incredible amount of dynamism.
Yeah, I feel like they've been doing a little bit less of that. I don't feel like they were counterattacking in the Sunderland game or the Crystal Palace game. The Chelsea game, maybe a little bit more. Although even that game, I felt like they were really taking it to Chelsea. It didn't seem like they were hanging back and letting Chelsea dictate that game. I mean, they scored the first goal and they looked more threatening.
Yeah. All right. So how many goals are you predicting for Payet in this game? Like a million?
Just the one. Just the one he always gets.
He'll just pop up and be like, I'll have that goal. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Nah, he's got a goal and an assist in this game, I think.
Yeah, that's possible. That'd be another creative captain choice.
Yeah. Okay, who's next?
Okay, that brings us to the final Saturday game. It's West Brom-Leicester. This will be a test of the West Brom clean sheet.
So now Robert Huth comes back into my mind. He's been languishing on my bench.
Oh, you have to start Huth in this game.
Yeah. Well, so this past weekend, I got to start Dawson against Russell Martin when Norwich played West Brom. Now I get to start Craig Dawson against Robert Huth.
That's not bad.
It's kind of like a March Madness bracket, and Craig Dawson keeps like moving toward the Indianapolis final.
this is the last week, right?
I think it's the last week. The final.
It gets a little. The West Brom run is over after this. Yeah, you hopped on though. It worked out very well for you.
I did. I've got my money's worth and then some from Mr. Dawson.
Yeah,
I'm a happy man.
This I can see West Brom. They've been picking up one goal here and there. So yeah. I think 1-1 is my prediction.
Okay, fair enough. I like it. Maybe Robert Huth will get a headed goal here.
It's possible.
Thank you for confidence. All right, that takes us to Sunday.
All right, Everton Sunderland. We've talked about Everton a lot already. 2-0 Everton is my scoreline for this game with a Lukaku goal and a Kone goal, a late Kone goal.
A late Kone. See, we didn't even touch upon Kone in our possible.
No, he doesn't start enough. Yeah. Kone and Naismith are cheap options, but they just don't play all the time.
Do you think that's the look that Samir Nasri was going, bleaching his hair? He said he walked into the barber and said, "Give me the Kone."
Give me the Kone. I think that's what happened.
All right, that's the new hashtag we're going to try and start online.
Give me the Kone.
Give me the Kone.
All right, Southampton, Bournemouth. Poor Bournemouth. It's over for them. Really I feel bad, but there was so much hope for them. It just feels like they have no chance.
It's
like
true.
It feels hopeless, doesn't it? I don't know why. The Man City game was bad, but the Tottenham game was just like, you're like, okay, this is really. I mean, they just had bad luck, like tons of injuries.
Yeah, it's hard not to think that some sort of cosmic power isn't conspired against
them. They were already punching above their weight. I mean, they just too many things have gone wrong.
Yeah. So now it is an interesting wrench in the FPL game, and now you're basically just chasing the Bournemouth fixture.
Yeah, I know. And so you brought up Pelé earlier. It is very, very tempting to captain Pelé in this game.
Yeah.
I bet he ends up being the most captain player. Well, yeah. No, that can't be true, can it? I bet it'll be Jamie Vardy or Alexis Sanchez. It'd be very interesting to see. It should be a very – this is what I like about not having Aguero. I mean, it has not worked out well for me the last 2 weeks. But in general, I like the idea of you know, 20% captains all across – you know, or 20%, 18%, 14%. It's just more interesting, you know, lots of different players to root for and against.
Pele is a lot like Lukaku in that I think FPL managers are wise to him. They know that he's good enough to want
going slash, runs.
Yeah, and you want him in your team. Lots of people bringing in Lukaku likewise for the Everton run coming up. But you're also too smart to be like be tempted into a captaincy.
Yeah,
so I think you're right that he won't be the most captained.
Yeah, I even I will. I don't want to say even I, especially me, because I kind of don't like Pele. We'll have a hard time captaining him this week, but I think it's probably the right choice.
I saw a nickname floating around Twitter the other day referring to Pele as hair helmet, which I quite liked. I'm going to start using that one.
Yeah. All right, and the final fixture is actually a Monday fixture, Spurs-Aston Villa. Interesting game.
It is an interesting game. It's too bad Tim Sherwood won't be around to go hang out with his old buddies at Tottenham.
Yeah.
I think he's probably happy about that.
They probably won't have a new manager by then, I would think.
Yeah. So if you have Harry Kane, you're very happy right now.
Yeah, although I will say you don't know what to expect with after managers fired. It's not always the greatest situation. You're better off playing the team that's given up on their manager.
So,
the
but
team
if there
that has the new manager, it'd be interesting to look at the stats on this. I guess that'd be something that I'll never actually pull, but would like to pull, like how a team performs the week after they get a new manager.
But if they'll just have an interim manager, it's not like they're going to step up and really try to impress some tubby guy who's not going to be around or is just going to be part
it
of.
Could still be like they could still feel lighter, like just like he's gone, you know. The weird man is gone.
The
man with the vest is gone.
That man is weird, Mom. Make him leave. That's Tim Sherwood.
But that being said, I tend to agree with you. If you had Harry Kane, he would be a very interesting player to captain in this game week. There are a lot of captain options this game week.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be captaining Jack Butland, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say Spurs 3-0.
Okay, so the Alderweireld pick will finally come good.
I think so. Three Alderweireld goals. I mean, assisted by Alderweireld.
It's just an Alderweireld, and we're just living in it. Does that work?
Yeah, I think so. So that'll be, three goals. That'd be 18 plus the clean sheet, 20. Yeah, I predict a 27-point game for Alderweireld.
Good. Well, I hope you have a good game week 11, so you're a little sunnier when we meet up again next week for the Always Cheating podcast.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I wish you good luck.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. Good luck to you, too.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. You can always subscribe on iTunes or on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Overcast. We actually just made it so you can download episodes of the podcast on SoundCloud, so you don't have to stream the audio file if you have a really tricky internet connection.
That's right.
And I also wanted to thank Nick Cummings over there at TriggerLips.com. He also runs the Transfer Hub message board. Mm-hmm. And he's been wonderful in helping promote our podcast through his channels. And definitely want to big up TriggerLips.com. Yep. He has lots of great content over there.
Yeah, and the people at the Reddit FPL for that have been very, very nice and complimentary and happy to upvote and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
That's very cool.
Keep listening. Send your feedback on all those channels. If you want your team rated on our new Always Cheating Rate My Team section, I think it's easiest just to hit us up at our Twitter feed. But we do have other ways to contact us there on our website at alwayscheating.com.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week, Brennan.
Yeah, sounds good, Josh. Bye.
All right, bye.